Maybe not. I do have, you know, I do have another one, and this is one that you and I discussed, Superintendent Butler, a little bit when we were talking about this. Sorry, was somebody else about to speak? I didn't have my screen up, so I couldn't see. Okay. You guys don't ask many questions. Doesn't that, I don't know. I must really annoy the crap out of you, because I do.
We've been talking a lot. So, we've been talking a lot about it.
Yeah, I know. And I know some of you have been right on the forefront, actually. I know. Definitely. Actually helping design this whole thing. So one of the things that we've discussed a lot, Commissioner Butler, or sorry, Superintendent Butler, and you and I talked about a little bit, was that a lot of people want home care, right? They want to age in place and they want that sort of thing. And I know that we're trying to help a little bit with that, maybe with some of the services that EMS is currently providing. And is that a role that this care coordination would play? And by care coordination, we're talking about actually care provision, right? In terms of some level of in-home services. I saw like $90 a visit, that sort of thing. But I'm seeing other commissioners all shaking their heads like, no, we're not doing any in-home care at all.
Well, I don't, not that we can't do any in-home care. The care coordination grant provides connection to resources for people. It is a substantial service in that if somebody called and was interested in aging in place, this agency could be a location that sends people out for care coordination, which is about coordinating medical care, which is about chronic disease management for people, helping them manage their own diseases, helping them figure out what resources they need in their home to be safer, and all those kind of services. It's not going to be caregiving to give somebody a bath. It's not going to be helping someone get dressed in the morning. That's caregiving. However, this facility, we've also talked about, you know, if we can get workers and keep workers and have an abundance of care workers working at the facility, we can also potentially become sort of a home care agency, in that we can send people out to people's homes. Because there's another program called COPES, which is a state program, which is a Medicaid program, where caregivers go out to someone's home and it's paid for through state. There's another state program as well. And we haven't really been able to find a lot of workers for that program or this other program that we have that's a little bit above income that from Medicaid, because there aren't enough workers to do it and there isn't an agency to oversee it. So the beauty of this is also that we can work on providing home care. If we can build our workforce, if we can stabilize our workforce, we could potentially be not having people work as many hours. I know sometimes at the Villages of Harbor, people have to work really long hours, just like at Peace Health, because there's such a shortage of health workers that there's longer shifts. So hopefully life can be more manageable for health workers. Plus they may be able to go out to someone's home as well as being in the facility. So we could be providing two levels of care at once. And we could also provide that across the county potentially to help build that workforce and stabilize that ability to use those resources, which I'm always trying to use. And there often aren't even caregivers in a category at all that can do it. So does that answer the question?
It might, I guess. So that's the $90 visit that we're talking about there.
That's care coordination, yeah. which we're already doing, and we could integrate as well. That's the medical, helping people connect telehealth wise to their doctor, yeah. Setting them up with visits, chronic disease self-management, making their place safer, helping them get grab bars, you know, those kind of things that paramedicine has done. That's care coordination. Home care is different. It's that.
Right. No, I understand. I was just trying to, I was clarifying that you were talking about those.
Both of them.
That just seemed like a lot to me, you know, somebody come in for that. And I guess you can bill quite a bit, huh? For helping people kind of coordinate what they're doing with their care. And yet that's still a lot less than it apparently costs.
Yeah.
So the
home care component of this is new. Like, no one's really doing exactly what we're doing. And there are a few existing programs we can roll into this, including the care coordination from the grant, including the COPES program, these different things. But, you know, and to that degree, you know, the budgeting is hard, because I'm not sure exactly what the reimbursement will end up being. I based it on the care coordination. But, you know, we've got many options for this, up to and including even contracting with the fire district for mobile integrated health program and helping make sure that they have a, you know, robust program that's fundable. I mean, it's what exactly will look like at the end of the day is something, you know, that needs to be worked out. But there's many, many options here that work and that we hope to take and expand and build on. But to some degree, it's just not really done. So we're trailblazing here.
Yeah. Well, any expansion will require some level of funding as well. And it sounds like there's some private interest out there, which is really positive. I think, and as you say, and as Commissioner Lehman said, we saw that quite a bit with the hospital. So that's positive. I will say from my perspective, I'd love to see some capacity to do some level of in-home visitation care, whatever, because it sounds like what we're talking about here today is kind of nearly maxing out our levy and to do sort of create largely a safety net, which I think is really important, right, to have a safety net. Mm-hmm. But it's going to be a pretty limited number of people that will affect, even if we get into like phases 2 and 3. And so I'd love to have a program where we can try to reach as many people as possible too in our community.
Well, and think how
needed. Me too.
I mean, yeah, I agree. I mean, think how needed it'd be. You come in, you're in our facility for 4 months and you get used to a certain caregiver. You know, like the options available to us, like, you know, they get released to go home and you can send the person they're used to seeing to follow up with them. I mean, it's amazing. I mean, it makes so much sense as part of what we're doing. Sorry, Commissioner Lehman, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No. Ditto. I didn't mean to cut you off either. I think one of the challenges, Commissioner Loring, with workforce is that this is going to be baby steps. We've been working on this and talking about this in our planning grant. It is an enormous challenge. We all want to have a larger workforce to be able to deliver that in-home care. So these are baby steps we're taking because everybody's challenged with this problem. It is an enormous problem across the nation. So it's like, okay, we're going to take these little baby steps and build on that. So, you know, I would love nothing more than to say, oh yeah, we're going to train up, you know, 20 people and they're going to be able to go out and provide all the in-home care that we need. We know that's not realistic. So by taking small steps, and I'd love to see Village at the Harbor become a hub for training all the staff to go in to provide home care and, you know, and it's yet to be determined, but I think we have to take these baby steps in order to get there because there's no capacity to take giant steps at this point. We have to take one step at a time in growing this program.
Right. So for the last 4 years, we've been talking about, we've tried to get a caregiver cooperative to appear that would help caregivers have a place where they would be hired from, and then also they would have training and they could work together through. And you know, it's a great idea, and caregivers haven't been able to take that on, and they have to be a huge part of that caregiver co-op. And talked about home care agency and starting home care agency here, and it's been so difficult to even consider how, especially as Nathan pointed out, that it takes 3 years to even get a Medicaid certification with a new program, the new facility, a new home care agency. So this is taking a leap way beyond the starting point, because we have an agency that is licensed to do this kind of care, which is awesome. So what we can do with it is, like, you know, Trish said, take the steps. And yeah, of course, we'd love to build in-home care, and people are very concerned about that as well. And so I think, like we said, there's a lot of private funding out there, and this is what people have asked for the last 5 years solidly, is something that will help with this problem.
You know, on that note, I know that people were talking a lot about this. Oh, I think I cut off somebody. Just a quick question on that. Do we have you reached out to any private individuals who have made any firm commitments? You know, like, hey, you know what? If you get this thing going, here's $50,000 or something like that. Have you heard any commitments from any individuals?
No, it's out there though. This process has been, there's been a lot to do in a short period of time, but
yes,
we haven't.
And I have had a one-on-one conversation with someone who is very, very interested in being a part of this. But again, this needs to be a nonprofit. And by having it community owned, we have great benefit. So much more so than some private person, because look at, you've seen the numbers. You've got them in front of you here about the budgets. You've seen profit and loss. So, you know, most people on their own are not going to be saying, yeah, I want to do that. I want to take over something that doesn't make me any money. So by us as a public entity buying this, having the creation of a not-for-profit, the opportunities for philanthropy, I feel very confident are there after my conversation with an individual here in this community who I cannot share their name. But I feel really good about that. So.
Yeah, we couldn't really disclose the details of this either for quite a while until we got to a number that we were happy with. So it wasn't like we could really talk about it specifically with anyone in particular.
We've also had it reviewed by a few industry professionals as well. So we feel pretty confident with our plan. It's not done, right? I mean, there's a lot of work to do still. But I do believe it's sufficient to move forward. And that's why we're bringing it to you.
And we asked Brian Brown and Evan Perlitz to be here with us tonight, and they've been incredibly patient. Is there anything either of you would like to weigh in on us in our discussion?
If I can just say, I think this is really and truly an amazing opportunity for this community. It's an amazing opportunity for the village. It's an amazing opportunity for San Juan Island. And, you know, and just speaking for the staff that have been at the village, and there are a lot of long-term employees that have been there. Those guys go to work every day, and they do it not necessarily for the money. They do it to take care of people, and they do it to make people's lives better. And this program, if we do it right, and we will, gives not only the staff there, it gives future residents, current residents, potential. I mean, everybody in this group, everybody in this meeting has worked with people in this island that you look at and you go, oh my God, we need to wrap them up in bubble wrap and take care of them. This solves that. This allows the village to become a training ground. It allows us to expand our services to take care of everyone, not just the select. And that's an amazing opportunity for what we're doing here. And I know, and I won't speak for every employee there, but I can tell you that they'll all be very excited about the possibilities of even providing better care than they do now.
I want to say that the investors are 100% behind this activity. Every one of them been involved in the village to serve the community. And that's what they believe is going to continue to happen. So they're very happy with this proposal.
Thank you both so much.
That's awesome.
And Brian and Evan, it's been such a pleasure working with you guys on this. We really appreciate it. You guys have been fantastic and very accommodating of our timelines, and we've asked for an almost absurd amount of information through this process. Evan, you know, I'd ask him one day for a set of documents, and I'm thinking in my head, how is he ever going to get that done in a month? And he'll have it to me the next day by 11 a.m. It's been amazing, and I'm super excited and grateful to continue to work with him. Part of the letter of intent is a rider that says, you know, we need Evan. So. Very great.
So Evan has agreed to stay indefinitely. That's part of this.
I don't know that I saw indefinitely, but certainly no. I love.
I added it in.
Okay.
He's going to work there until he moves in, right? Is that it?
Yeah.
Is that
the deal? Yeah, something like that. After
you, whenever you need it. So I'd like to make a motion to accept this proposal.
Second that motion.
Is there any further discussion?
Just a little bit. I encourage us, as this moves forward, to get out immediately and start talking with people and shaking the trees and see what kind of private support we can get. Because I agree. I think there's probably a fair amount of it there. And in my ideal world, this conversation would have happened a couple months ago. And so we would have had a better feel for that private contribution before we were telling the voters just how much we were asking from them. But I understand also that to the extent we get private funding, it actually bolsters what we can do to expand services along these lines and maybe even bring people into others' homes and such too. So I can see that it can be additive as well. I just wanted to say, I hope that we get out there and start seeing if we can secure some of those contributions too.
Agreed.
I think what we're doing is pretty neat though, because we're saying, you know, we can do this project, but if you pitch in, we can do these other things. So we're giving people a lot of incentive to participate while still getting the ball rolling. I also like to clarify, Commissioner Lachine Seitz, were you moving to adopt the letter of intent? Was that what you were doing?
That's what it was, yeah.
Yes, thank you. But I wanted to make a clarification on the letter of intent, because part of that is we need to authorize Nathan and potentially myself, I think the two of us, to make any changes not related to the price, you know, as we negotiate this at the last minute, so we don't need to keep coming back to you. So as long as we're fine with the letter as it is, and there's no further discussion, we can take a vote.
Aye.
So all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay.
Aye.
All right. Thank you so much, everyone, for your time. And I'm so inspired by you all. And in that case, then, we need to approve Resolution 21-551 to submit a resolution to the Bristol Hospital District levy. And so we can go ahead and discuss this. Does anyone have anything? We need to approve the amount. The proposed amount, I believe. Is that 70 cents?
Correct. That's what I have highlighted. I would make a motion that
Commissioners, I'm sorry. Just, I wanted to confirm you were okay with me signing that letter of intent, because it's not a letter that you all sign. I would be your designee and sign that. And that's, you just adopted the letter, and that's the way it is in the letter. I just want to make sure you all are fine with that.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Yes, I am, Nathan.
Thank you. Just point of clarification. I apologize. I don't mean to interrupt. It's late. I just want to make sure we're not missing anything important, because it's hard to go back and do it over again.
Okay, so back to resolution 20-551. Do I need to read this out?
No, we just need to discuss the levy rate. I mean, the rest of the language is pretty pro forma. It's just what our attorney gave us. It meets the requirements of the law.
This isn't going for our full capacity. Like, our full is 75.
As written, it is, right? Yeah. The draft that we have is the 75, but we've been talking about 70 tonight.
We've been doing, I'm recommending 70. Yeah, the version I sent out said 75. That is true.
Yeah.
Okay.
But, yeah. I think we can do as little as 65 cents. I think particularly like the first year or two, but you know, it means we'd have to go back to the public sooner. So there is a strategic decision to make here, which is, you know, how do you balance a number the public will find palatable against, you know, your need, you know, how long it will take to need more money? Because, you know, costs are going to be going up every year, like for all agencies, like we were just talking about with EMS. So I'm comfortable with anything over 665 or over, but I think 70 is probably the safest and or to balancing things, but you know, and it's, but there's definitely an argument made for 65 just because it's basically the same as what Orcas and Lopez have. And that argument, which is saying basically, you know, we're going to provide long-term care and a hospital at the same rate as Orcas and Lopez, is an awfully good public sort of position. That said, it definitely makes money a little tighter, and you know, like really trying to expand beds and meet our commitment to the public, and meaningfully expanding Medicaid options, particularly like that facility construction, is going to be expensive. And so that's why I basically am saying 70 cents. And still, it's a pretty good public position to be in, being like, for 5 more cents, you're going to have all these services. And, you know, it's, I think it's almost as good. So
I don't really like the idea of saying that 65 and we're going to provide more than low cost workers. I, you know, in that, in those terms, it's not a competition necessarily. But I do like the idea of 70 might accomplish more. And if we can really sell this, you know, in terms of the services that we can provide in a nonprofit, publicly owned facility, I feel like there's enough political will behind this as a need for our community, especially with, you know, when you look at the age of the population.
Right.
I'm for 70.
I support 70.
I too support 70.
Guys.
As do I. I think it's important. I would hate to be hamstrung when we go to do the many other projects. I think it's important to be able to support people at home, and it, and not just taking care of people at home. And you know, I visited over the weekend a family friend who's 98 years old, and you know, the problem happens that a light bulb goes out in the chandelier over their table, and if you don't have family, you don't have somebody to change it, that 98 year old is not going to do it. So you know, sometimes as simple as that may be, you might need somebody who can shinny up a ladder and change a light bulb. And that needs to be part of the program too. You might be thinking medical care, but you know what? There's a lot more than that needs to be done. And so if the difference between 65 and 70 is a handyman, I'm for 70.
Yep.
Thanks.
Amen, because that person's not going to fall off the ladder and break their hip.
That handyman right.
Go out there. Mm-hmm.
You're right.
Does the 5 cents include insurance for the electrical work?
You never know. It just might. We could have a handyman at Village at the Harbor who goes out to homes and do that. And that handyman maintenance person, who then could also be driver of hopefully a wheelchair accessible van, could go out to that person's home, do a repair, take them to the shop, take them to a doctor's appointment. That could all be part of this. I mean, the opportunities are pretty amazing of what we can
actually
do.
I mentioned it to my wife. She suggested, well, there might be a subscription kind of thing where you get people to maybe pay, you know, X number of dollars a year, and that contributes to handyman to their house, and then maybe we could pick up the rest. So it's not like we would have to fund the whole thing, but it might become, it's a part of the whole picture that we have to consider. And so I hate to be, again, hamstrung by that 8% more, 5% more, it sounds like.
Five cents sounds like so little, but it is about $250,000 in revenue. So it's, you know, meaningful amount of money, and not having it would definitely constrain what we can do, but it would make it more likely to pass. So it's, you know, I'm glad you're all come. I mean, Kyle hasn't weighed in, but
I could go either way. I think our public is not going to see a dramatic difference between those two numbers necessarily, but maybe we'll find out that they will. And then we'll revisit this and have a, you know, see what we can formulate.
I think we're really banking on people really wanting to solve this problem. We're giving them a real option to do so. They can vote it down, you know, but I think people will be excited. It's a really neat project. And I know it's not been super long, but we've given you a pretty comprehensive proposal. So I'm glad you're excited about it.
So do we make a motion to pass this at 70 cents?
Yes, please.
Okay, I'll make a motion to pass.
Motion to adopt the resolution.
Motion to adopt the resolution 21-551 at 70 cents.
I'll second that. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Thank you all. Thank you, Brian and Evan, for your time tonight and your work on this. Much appreciated. I'm excited. I'm so excited.
Me too. And we're going to start out on the talking circuit and we're getting the word out. I got my laundry list of people to call tomorrow. And yes.
It's going to be a big undertaking.
Yes. Thank you to our committee and to Superintendent Butler. And I'm thrilled. And to Steve for his work on this as well.
It's an extremely major shift for our district. Tonight, we've agreed to move out of the EMS business and into the long-term care business. You know, and tonight will have reverberations for years, really. It's monumental, but, you know, we've all worked really hard, and I think it really, you know, it gets the job done. I mean, it's really exciting what we're trying to do here.
It's funny you say it. That's how I saw it too. Long-term job security. You were worried there'd be nothing to do. You're right. I mean, the mess is shifting over. You just basically signed checks to the hospital at that point. So now here's something really to do.
I'll be totally honest. I honestly consider that. I'm like, you know what? I could work 40 hours a week. I'd make less than I'm making now, but I could have a year where I'm working normal hours and I could even take holidays. I very seriously blew up this whole project purely out of self-interest. I would like time off, time with my wife, go on some trips. It is what it is. To be totally frank, you know, I spent 10 years of my life dealing with serious illness. I know what it's like. And I know exactly what people are dealing with when they deal with these struggles. And I had family to catch me, but many of these people do not. And I just find it unacceptable that we would wait another year when it's within our means to solve this problem. Because I know firsthand what it's like to be hurting and need care. And you know, there aren't a lot of people in a position of authority like me that have had those experiences. And it's a big part of why I felt such a sense of urgency about this. It's just really important for people. I mean, a year does not seem like a lot when you're sitting in a meeting like this. But to a person on the ground who needs help, a year is a lot of time. It really is. So anyway, I just feel very strongly about it and decided to give up my 40-hour work week. So here we are.
Anyway. Opportunity that we did not have with the Life Care Center when they closed. Yeah. And it's an opportunity we have now, and we do owe it to the community. And I think our friend Jack Estrada has something to add. Please.
Just a couple things to say. Nathan, imagine someone like yourself in pain who's aged, right? It's even worse. So, but I just want to say congratulations on your efforts here, and I'll be clapping and cheering in the background. So I just want to say congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank you. A lot. It means a lot. Thanks, Jack.
Yeah. Thanks, Jack.
Yeah. As always, our partnership with Peace Health is our priority, and we look forward to ways we can continue to work together, and especially.
Absolutely. And by the way, that grant, that $15,000 grant, is up for. When it comes to a year, it'll be up again for two. It's up actually for 2 years, so. I know it just got voted upon and executed, but and we got a little ways to go, but there is another year that that'll come up. So that's exciting as well.
Thank you.
It should be said that we can't do this without Peace Health. The fact that we're able to, you know, pay only about 30 cents of our levy to support Peace Health and the success of that partnership is the only reason we're able to do this. So very grateful.
Well, it is a great story, legacy story for this community and in the partnership and how, you know, Peace Island was born. something that this community should be very proud of. I know, and I was part of that way back when. It was very exciting back then. So all I can say is congratulations. I guess you think of one more thing to Commissioner Loring and all of you, but since she brought it up, you know, you really need both. You know, you really need the home care and you need the hospital care. They really work in great partnership. You know, nobody wants to stay at the hospital forever, but they can go home and get cared for at home and be with their family and their loved ones. So I just wanted to share that the grant is working on very similar but yet a bit different patient care access for these people. So I'll stop talking.
Well, we've only been here for a year so far, it seems like.
Actually, I was here a year just last week.
Happy anniversary.
Yeah. Of course, 8 months was the term, so. But, all right. You guys all have a good evening. Thank you.
Thanks, you too.
Thanks, Jack.
Well, I'm a little emotional after all of this, but I suppose we have some reports to get through now that we've accomplished the harder things. Thank you all very much for your time and your patience, and I appreciate everyone's willingness to listen to each other. So we do have audience participation next on our agenda. I think we have a couple people that have hung in there with us. I'm not sure if there's anyone that wants to say anything at this time.
Did you want the reports, or are we doing that after audience participation?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm just skipping ahead. That doesn't matter. I think we just.
Although we could open it up. I'm guessing from the names I see that that won't be an issue. But it is already 8:15. If somebody in the public had something to say, we could let them.
That's fine. We can do that now.
Time for reports.
I think it's time for reports. Succinctness for the report.
I was thinking about 5 minutes ago, I was looking at the agenda, like, we're done, right? And I looked at it and I saw the board reports. I'm like, oh no, I got to do the board report still. You know, I'll be totally honest. You know, I've sent you a written report. Tonight's business has been all about what we were up to in June. Like, we've been up to figuring out long-term care and figuring out integration. That's what we've been up to. Our finances are fine. You can see them where we're at. One notable thing, we did cash in our investments, which was planned as part of the resolution to pay down the building, just to give us that security buffer until the fall property taxes. We will put money back into into investments at some point. You can see that for the first time in a long time, our reserve amount has changed. We're now at $358,000. We were at, what was it, $450,000. That's because we used it to pay for our new spring rig. And so that won't be touched again until our ambulance arrives, hopefully September. Honestly, I don't have a lot else to say. We've, you know, our response times are consistent with what needs to be happening. We're doing some hiring, you know, trying to fill gaps. We did have one EMT give notice that they were resigning in September, right, when they were going to move back east for family needs, family reasons. We're also negotiating a fifth EMT position with the union. Margaret Longley's off to medic school. She's just started the non-residential component. It's twice a week. She starts the residential component at September 27th. Very excited about that. Continuing with run reviews with the fire district, training continues. You know, our outreach and community paramedicine program is pretty heavily tasked right now, but they still did quite a lot of work, as you can see from the written report. I don't personally feel the need to elaborate beyond that, but I'm happy to answer any questions.
Wow, thank you.
Sounds good.
Everett and I reviewed the financials today. There was nothing particular. There was nothing really outstanding. I think we're working to close that one refund account, and that's about all. And just, we have accomplished a lot financially this past year, and we've tidied up our books a lot. And I'm really proud of that. So thank you, Nathan. Thank you, Everett, and to Sally as well.
We worked really hard, and, you know, giving this report, I know it was quick, but it also hits me, you know, that before long, I won't be managing EMS, and boy, I love EMS. I really, really do. You know, I've been a staunch proponent of integration, but truthfully for me, there will be tears shed when that transition happens. I just really like working with EMS, but anyway, that's neither here nor there. So. It's been a great year for me. Been a lot of challenges. We've accomplished a ton of things. And we're getting where we need to be. But it is bittersweet.
It is. And it's still up to the voters. Your job will be.
I was going to mention that, actually. Well, maybe not Superintendent Butler's job exactly. But, yeah, whether integration goes through.
Yeah. Thank you, commissioners. Any questions?
No, this looks pretty clear. You know, Superintendent Butler, if you might add the 2019 annual runs when you do your report, those total numbers just for comparison, that's also helpful too. You did it on the monthly, but I think not on the annual. And I'm always just curious, you know, to see where we are compared to what would be considered more normal year.
We did that. Well, we always do that for 2020. We've never included 2019. I happen to include it this time just because 2020 was a pretty anomalous year, so it's interesting to compare against the non-COVID year.
Yeah.
I would like, I can begin to do that.
I just meant just that annual number, whatever. Yeah, that, I don't know. It's kind of helpful just to see where things are. Although, as you say, it does feel kind of like a short timer sort of question or request.
It's fine. I don't mind doing it. It's not a big deal.
I just want to say, Nathan, thank you for all the amazing amount of work. And Steve, I know you've been working pretty hard too on all these issues and topics, and fellow commissioners just putting time in to really think things out and be available has been amazing. So thank you so much. It was a big lift just to have this meeting, to have the meeting last week, to have all the things in between that have needed to happen.
In the July board and the June regular board meeting, I said I needed two commissioners who could be available regularly and work on this project with me. And Gail and Trish really followed through on that. Like, it was not hard scheduling stuff. And I tell you what, we schedule a lot of meetings and a lot of phone calls. And I'm glad you mentioned Steve. That is a significant oversight on my part. This would not have happened without Steve, the amount of work he's done on this. And, you know, the fact of the matter is, you know, I'm managing an entire agency at trying to work out this stuff. And I really relied on Steve to just basically get stuff done. Like, all right, here's what we're doing. Steve, please go work this out. And he does. And he always does such a good job. So I'm really glad you mentioned that. He's been fantastic.
Thank you, Steve.
and we should try getting to the whole meeting as well.
And I know, I think Weishan is still on the line. And
yeah, she gets a prize for.
Oh, being... it's not even that. I just wanted to acknowledge her as well, because I know her leadership at EMS is really been important in terms of being able to work with the fire department. And so I appreciate that, and I know that Nathan appreciates Weishan so much too, and what she's done to move this relationship forward in the best interest of the community.
I really do appreciate Weishan. She is fantastic. And really, besides her work quality, which is always high, she's always cheerful. She always smiles. She's just wonderful to work with. Really, she is.
Thank you, Weishan. I appreciate you so much. I appreciate your incredible positivity and your work ethic and what you bring to EMS and to our community. Thank you.
I'm not sure she's here though. She might have left it on when she went off to do something else. I'll sure tell her later that we embarrassed her.
Oh, she can play the audio back or something.
I mean, it has been.
Yeah, I'm sure she'll make it to the end.
Yeah, it's been a lot of work to get where we are, and she's been a big part of that. So.
Hey, we're getting to be better backpatters. We're not quite as good as some people in our.
Really
good backpatting.
So with that all said, it is 8:27, and I'm going to move to adjourn this meeting of the San Juan County Public Hospital Board of Commissioners. Thank you all very much.